Well, good morning and welcome to chapel this morning. Very special welcome if you're new or a visitor. Nice to have you with us. Don't rush away afterwards. We'll have tea and coffee and biscuits together. This morning is a hoppy service, everybody. Yes. So welcome, Dave. We look forward to what Dave has prepared and will share with us. We are this morning, as we finish our little series on looking at all aspects of the Holy Spirit, this morning's title is God Became Flesh, or God Became Human, we've used, or God Amongst Us. I think we've used all three when we've been preparing. My sheet was really, really tidy, and then people have added things, and it's like snakes and ladders now. So, right, I'm going to go up to here to say yes, up the ladder. It's also Trinity Sunday, just worth pointing out. Somebody at work might ask you tomorrow. It's the Sunday after Pentecost. The Western Church celebrates a feast in honour of the Holy Trinity. So there we go, we're informed. You can mention that. In preparation, Dave and I were saying if it's a nice sunny morning, we can say that God is amongst us. We can see him in the beauty of everything. There is a Bible verse, is there not? God made the world beautiful, so there would be no doubt. And we said if it's a miserable, rainy morning, we can say how God helps us and is amongst us in our troubles. And as we face our struggles when times are rough. So we've got the former anyway this morning. We will be reading from John 1 and the first 18 verses. A couple of notices just to highlight. Jeff, thank you for the all-important prayer diary, which is online. Jenny's mentioned BMS World Mission, who we support, have sent a very nice letter in this magazine. You have to be a huge IQ to notice it, so we thought we would just mention that, otherwise it's just on the notice board and at the back. Make yourself familiar with that, because it's really good, the work that they do. This coming Wednesday is June's as in month of June, prayer meeting, and that's at 7 p.m. here. So do come along. It's just 1 hour, and that's for our whole month. That's where we're going to meet here this coming Wednesday. And Jeff will be leading that. Thank you, Jeff. Pointing out, we know we're going to have a home group. We know it's 7:30, and we know it's going to be at Barry and Jenny's. But it's either going to be a week Tuesday or a week Thursday. So as amenable as ever, Barry and Jenny need your feedback as to which. That's fair, is that right, Barry? Just yeah, feedback.
Correct. I think it will be Tuesday.
Oh, it's right. Right, okay. For this month. Okay, great. Okay, lovely. So we've all got that, thank you. So Barry and Jenny, appreciate your feedback, and that will be a really blessed time also. Shall we commit our service together to the Lord in prayer? At the end of this prayer, we'll have the family prayer together. And the words will be on the screen if you prefer to meditate on the words, or if you're Jeff, because Jeff did it backwards last week. we've got in an awful knot. So we'll pray, and then we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. Dear Lord, we praise and thank you for the beauty of your creation. Thank you for this lovely morning and the opportunity once again to meet together in your name. Be with Dave, we pray, as he ministers your word to us, as we study the wonder of you coming amongst us 2,000 years ago, also fully as a man, but also right here and now, and you can help us face life struggles and hardships. Please bless this morning's offerings, both those given just now and during the week, electronically online. May they be used for the work of the extension of your kingdom here from this place. Bless us as we say the family prayer together now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory, forever and ever. Amen. Okay. So shall we stand, if you're able, to sing our first song, which is 367, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord, the 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 Lord
Okay. So I'm going to take us through our reading now. By all means, find that in your Bibles as John 1, as you see, first 18 verses. But it's a hoppy service, so we've got some images. We've thrown together a hodgepodge of images, and I've tried to key on the key points of our passage, and might just help our thinking or meditation as we go through. And the big advantage is I can read really slowly then as well. And as before, if you see a little copyright C in a graphic designer's world, that just means, of course, you can use it. Okay. And yes, all the biblical men will look like Charlton Heston as well. Okay, so our reading. In the beginning, the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and lo, the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I have spoken about when I said, 'He comes after me, he has surpassed me because he was brought before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, who has made him known." Great. So I hope that's helpful as we meditate on that passage in a moment. Shall we sing again as we just quieten our hearts now? Let's sit and sing. Let's sing twice through number 38, "As We Are Gathered." And after this one, Barry's going to come up and guide us through our prayers of intercession.
Thank you. morning, everyone. Actually, I'll probably say good morning to most of you who came in. But so let's turn to prayer. And in the opening prayer, we already, through Nick, gave thanks for creation and the wonders of God, which is an important part of prayer when we praise him and give thanks. But this part is where we're going to pray for specific circumstances. And every now and then I will say, Lord, in your mercy, and that is a cue for you to say, great. No training needed. Right. So there's so many challenges. When I came to think about this, there's so many challenges, and there's two themes which kind of run together. And that is, in the Baptist's thing, we've got the thing that Jeff sent. We're talking about gender justice all this week, really, and the Baptist Missionary Society. We know throughout the world there is much inequality, and there's much ill treatment, really. But the other thing is that it also ties in with it, which I think is going to be a challenge to us, is that we are now entering Pride Month, which is a challenge for many of us, and we need wisdom there. So I'm going to pray along those lines, and then we'll move out into the wider world. Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us last week of the gift of your Spirit. And we claim that now as we were just singing, and we know that through your Spirit you're here. And we pray for wisdom as we pray for the right words to say. But you know our hearts, Lord, anyway. We're thinking of justice, gender justice in the world. There's so many things that we want to bring to you during the coming week, Lord. And gender justice is grounded in the vision of equality and the equity enshrined in the BMS Mission Gender Charter in response to a biblical calling. We want to see justice reign and lives redeemed and restored. And we pray for God's power to build, guide, and strengthen us to realize this vision. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, many of us are troubled at the moment with the confusion in this country and throughout the world, but particularly this country, with confusions about gender and things like that. We're aware that Christians, Lord, are being persecuted and losing their jobs for stating the obvious. And so, Lord, we would pray that all the legal teams working with Christian charities would be effective in resourcing Christians in tricky situations this summer. They would speak with truth and love about sexuality and gender in the coming months. Pray for those who've lost their jobs for speaking up for what they believe to be right. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And as we look on the wider world, Lord, we think of India and that terrible train crash. We think of there, Lord, the people who are in need of support, emotional support, those who are grieving. We pray for the doctors and the nurses tending the seriously wounded. We pray for the men repairing the track, putting the trains back on track, as it were. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord, we continue to pray for the situation in Ukraine. It seems very fragile. It seems very difficult. The atrocities continue. We don't understand, Lord, but we know that you can speak into the hearts and minds of the leaders. And we pray that you will do this even now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, Lord, a prayer for ourselves. We do pray that in this coming week you will be with each one of us. We thank you again for the gift of your Spirit that we were reminded of. And we just pray that we would speak your truth, but with grace, as our Lord and Saviour did. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And the people said, Amen. And now we're going to sing again, and it's number 388. It's Jesus, We Enthrone You. We seem to have a common theme, don't we? Jesus is with us, and I think that perhaps Hoppy gives us thought to that. So we do have this common theme. So, and we'll sing it through twice, Jesus, We Enthrone You, and immediately after that, Hoppy will come and share his thinking. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's lovely to be back with you again. Did I mention the sun always shines when I come here last time? I just remembered that. And here we are again. I apologise, by the way, if that's a bit different to the version in the book or that you know. I pasted that in and I didn't check what the words were. And as we were singing it, I was thinking, oh, that's a little bit different. Anyway, if not, don't worry. But I just thought I would mention that. So we are thinking today of the beginning of John's Gospel and what it means that God became human. My favourite subject of all time, really. I think, you know, we probably all find different things helpful and encouraging in our faith. The big thing for me is that God got his hands dirty and he became a carpenter and he lived under difficult situations in this life in an oppressed country. You know, and he was a boy and he had friends and all these kind of things. Reality. You know, God entered into reality through Jesus. He became a human being. I just want to say a little prayer. I was reading this morning a little bit from one of the letters called Ephesians. And this prayer about God opening the eyes of our heart. Because really, when it comes to Jesus, I mean, I've prepared stuff which I hope is helpful. But at the end of the day, we really need God to do it, don't we? To show us again something more of Jesus to help us in our lives. So I just pray. Lord, as it says in your word, we pray that the eyes of our hearts and our minds and our wills will be open to know the hope that we can have in Jesus again. Wherever we are at the moment with you, Lord, open our eyes again. And do it today and do it this week, Lord, so that we know that our hope is settled on you and all that Jesus is and has done. In his name we ask. Amen. So, yeah, that's one of my favourite pictures of Jesus. It's from a film called The Gospel According to Matthew. I did a book about Jesus, and I actually got in touch with this guy and asked if I could use an image from that film, because in this film, Jesus smiles a lot. And if there's one thing I want to leave you with this week, is that when Jesus was around as a human being, he was very approachable and very friendly and very warm. And we don't know how many times he smiled, because he doesn't tell us in the Bible, but I think if you read between the lines, he was very, very warm towards people, especially those who were frightened of life and frightened of the system and ill and poor. He spent a lot of his time helping those people. This is the reading that Nick very helpfully went through with us. I just wanted to highlight a couple of things. Actually, it did strike me that the very first verse is complicated, isn't it? It is complicated, and when it says the word, it means Jesus, the living word. So basically what that's saying is right at the beginning, well, there wasn't a beginning because there was no time. It's one of the great things about the Christian view of life and eternity. God existed before time. So you know that question people ask about, oh, what was there before creation, before the beginning, before, you know, time or whatever? Well, at that point there was no time, so there was no before. God's just always been. There was never a before, and one day there'll never be an after, because there won't be any time when God puts it all back together when Jesus returns. So in the beginning was the Word. But even there, you know, you've got this thing, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. With God, was God. My brain's too small, but I think that's the point. Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit are beyond all of our thinking and reasoning. We can only wrestle with it, really. I also think that's why we have dinosaurs. I think God went, let's see them work out that one and how long they've been around and all that kind of thing. I think God maybe enjoys it when we have to sort of wrestle a bit. But what I really want to talk about was, there's verse 12 here. To everyone who received him, who welcomed him, who believed in Jesus, we've been made children of God. That's the door that's been opened to us now. In the Old Testament, a lot of people get very frightened about God coming close to them. And here's John starting his book in the New Testament saying, guess what? We've seen the glory of God and we weren't scared. And we didn't die. And we felt better about life, not worse. That's really what John is saying here. He's building up to saying, we've seen the glory of God. And it was all in Jesus. And there it is there in verse 13. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. And when we think of glory, say if we think of Christmas, right? You've got the angels in the sky singing glory to God and peace on earth. That really isn't the primary kind of vision John has here. He's not talking about a big glorious vision in the sky. He's talking, in effect, about a tiny baby in the manger. This is his Christmas. This is his telling of the Christmas story. And this baby will die if his parents don't look after him. This is God who's dared to entrust himself to people like you and me. That's the glory of God. God has come right into the muck and the grit and the straw and all that goes on in our lives. That's the amazing thing. He says, we've seen the glory of God as he's done all of that. And we've come close to him. We've seen his glory. The glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, and he was full of grace and truth. And that's another important thing, really, is that Jesus embodies all that's true about life and the world and the universe and you and I. And that's very important in an age of fake truth, whatever that is. And Jesus is the truth and totally reliable. But alongside it, he's full of grace, which we're talking about kindness and welcome and generosity. See, we can use the truth like a weapon, and people do it all the time. On social media, they're always knocking each other down by what they say as the truth, using it to punch other people. Jesus never did that. He brought it with an open hand and kindness, the truth and grace together, the two hands. So we're going to think a little bit more about some of that. Now, this is hot off the press. Never shown this before. It's just a little film based on what we call the Creed, which is about what we believe. I'm an Anglican. I was going to say I'm a good Anglican, but I'm not a good Anglican at all. I'm just a bumbling Anglican, really. But and so this is a version of that. But I just wanted to highlight, I think in this version we changed one word, and there's a good reason for it. If you know the Creed, you know that at one point we talk about the Holy Catholic Church. The reason we've changed it to the Holy Global Church, and it isn't because we don't want the Catholics involved, it's just that when you use the word Catholic in the Creed, it doesn't specifically mean the Catholic Church. When it was written, it meant the Church across the world and across the ages. That's what it originally meant, but we don't probably get that connection now. So that's why we changed the word. Anyway, some images behind it, and just reminding us again about this Jesus that we believe in and entrust our lives to.
We believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
A friend of mine, Simeon Wood, put that together, and he did the music for it and the visuals as well. But I just thought it'd be good to play that, just because I think it sums up both the majesty of Jesus, but also how much he came into the suffering and the pain of life. And that's our hope, isn't it? We have a God who has come that close to all the troubles of life. And the Bible, you know, says much about that, really, the Jesus who has come up close and personal. But I want to go back in time a little bit, because this is the thing that I love about Jesus. He was a toddler. Well, before that he was a baby, and before that he was in the womb, which is why you've got a picture of a baby in the womb there. That Jesus was like that. God was like that. Isn't that a bit mind-blowing? It blows my mind. Mary was walking around with God inside her in her womb for 9 months. Jesus was a toddler, a son, a brother, a pupil, a boy who played in the street, a teenager, a student, an apprentice, a builder. We think of him as a carpenter because his dad was a carpenter, but really they did a lot of building work. They built houses. So if you know any builders, Jesus was a builder. That's what he did for a job. And he did that for a long time. And so Jesus has lived through all of these things. And for example, under the Romans, right, you had to pay for a lot of taxes. So they weren't very wealthy. So we've got a cost of living crisis, and Jesus lived with a cost of living crisis. He knows what that is like. And that's one of the big things about Jesus living all of this. I'll show you this verse I've got later on about how he understands all that we face, because he has lived there. Well, I wonder what Jesus as a teenager was like. Jesus' name is Yeshua in Hebrew. It's a version of Joshua. And the thing is, lots of people were called Joshua. Lots of kids were called, boys were called Joshua. Because Joshua, if you know anything about him, was a big hero from their history, who rescued the people and took them into the promised land. So he was a big, powerful hero. And so lots of people thought, if we call our baby boy Joshua, maybe he'll grow up and set us free. So the angel knew what he was doing when he went to Mary and God had told him to say, call your boy Joshua, because he's going to set the people free. And that's what they're waiting for. So, you know, Mary would go out in the street and she'd say, hey, Yeshua, it's tea time. But there would be other boys called Yeshua. He wasn't the only one. It was just that that name had a specific kind of power to it, really, because he'd come to set people free. And that's a little bit from the Bible where Jesus is described by Zechariah to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death and to guide us into the path of peace. That was one of the things they said that Jesus was going to do. Now, that isn't a picture of his family. Some of you might recognise what family it is. Some of you won't because I'm quite old. But anyway, but what we do know is that Jesus had at least 2 sisters and 4 brothers, right? A few years ago, there was that book, The Da Vinci Code. And one of the shocking things about The Da Vinci Code was, maybe Jesus has got relatives that live now. Well, I can tell you there's a good chance he does. Not because he married Mary Magdalene, but because he had brothers and sisters who would have had children, and their children would have had children. So there could well be people living now who come from that family. Mary had other children, married to Joseph. What's interesting is we know the 4 brothers' names, and we don't know anything about the women. We don't even know how many there were. It just says his sisters. He might have had 10 sisters. We don't know. But what's interesting about that is he came from a family, and we all know what it's like living in a family, don't we? Not always easy, is it? I mean, I can tell you, it's no surprise for me to tell you that we don't always get on at home. You know, especially with a 9-year-old daughter. She always got lots of plans that don't fit in with the rest of us. You know, this is family life. Jesus lived with that. He knows what family is like. He was born into one. He didn't beam down, fully made up, fully ready, like if you've seen a film, The Terminator, when Arnold Schwarzenegger beams down, ready to go. That isn't what Jesus did. He grew up and he lived through all the normal human channels and was part of a big family. This is a lovely verse I just found the other day. Yesterday. Was it even today I found it? This is actually from the Old Testament. Lots of people think that the Old Testament is just full of fighting. It isn't at all. It has fighting and war in it because that's the world. We live now in a time of war and fighting. They did then. But it also has these great verses like this. This is a kind of prediction about Jesus in a way. God says to people, I live in a high and a holy place, but I also live with the humble and lowly in spirit to bring them hope and revive them. That's Jesus. He has come down to live with us, and he's promised to always be with us now. Now, a few years ago, I'd done this book called The Bloke's Bible. And it was quite a down-to-earth book about Jesus, well, about lots of Bible stories, but Jesus was one of the stories I was telling. And it was particularly aimed at men. And I had an interview on Premier Radio with a guy called Jeff Lucas, who was asking me about why I'd written it, so we had a long chat. And during the chat, he made loads of notes. And at the end of the chat together, he finished with this summing up, which I then pinched off the radio, recorded it later on, and put some visuals and some music. But it's all about Jesus and who he was, really. And he's not afraid to be honest with the fact that he says even he doesn't really know Jesus very well, because we're all getting to know Jesus. So have a look at this.
Just reflecting on our conversation this evening makes me realise that I don't actually know Jesus. What I mean by that is that I don't know him in the way that I know my friends or my wife Kay or the bloke down the road at Starbucks who makes the coffee. I've never been formally introduced to him. I picked up this photofit picture that I pieced together from a million conversations and 10,000 sermons and quite a few million worship songs. But we've never been formally introduced so that I can compare him, the real Jesus, with the photograph that I have in my brain. And it seems to me, we've taken this Jesus, the one who transforms so much, a man who was disabled, down on a mat into a dancer and a sprinter, lukewarm water into wine, a stinking corpse called Lazarus into an honoured dinner guest. We've taken him and we've done what is perhaps the darkest miracle in the history of miracles, and that is that we've made him, Jesus, into someone who's really quite boring, dull and uninteresting. So why don't we go back to our Bibles, and I say this as someone who does write those daily Bible reading notes, put those down. And put that Bible commentary down and put that sermon series of notes that you've been keeping from Sunday mornings, put that down as well. And just look at the Bible again today and come before this Jesus who is more than words in the Bible but a living personality. And maybe just pray the most wonderful but the riskiest prayer that any of us can pray. And that is, Jesus, I'd like to be really introduced. Show me the real you. Because when we find him, we'll find the real Jesus, who is the Jesus, yes, for blokes, and who is the Jesus for us all.
One of my favourite clips in there is when he's dancing. I love that. We may not think of Jesus as dancing, but Jewish men danced. It wasn't an unusual thing. So Jesus would have danced, because he was part of that whole world and that life. That's what we're talking about when we talk about Jesus becoming a human being. And then, of course, we have the Gospels and the stories about all the things he did and the stories he told. And the interesting thing about the stories he told is they come from life. A woman loses a coin. He knew that story because he'd probably watched his mum searching for a lost coin. He would see people losing their sheep all the time. It was a thing that happened. He knew families where the boys had run away to look for a better life, so he made up one called the Prodigal Son. These were stories that they're like soap opera stories. There's like one that's like an episode of Casualty. You don't know if you ever watch Casualty, where I don't watch it, I find it too disturbing. It starts off people are happy and healthy and they end up sick and sad. But anyway, that's another story. But this is like a Casualty story. A man's travelling down a road and he gets attacked and beaten up and left for dead and he needs help. Who's going to help him? Well, that's just like something you might see in a drama on TV. And Jesus surprises people by saying, who would actually stop and help this person? So Jesus tells stories that come out of his growing up. And what he does is he uses them to point to the kingdom of God. And he has to keep saying, well, the kingdom of God is a bit like this. Because Jesus knows what the kingdom of God is like. But our minds are too small. Our hearts are too small. So he has to keep going, well, you know, when this happens, well, that's a little bit like part of the kingdom that I've come from. I've seen another world, he's basically saying. I know what life should be like. And right now, at the moment on the earth, it's not like that. But it's when you discover the kingdom and you live like this, it's a bit like that, you know. I was reading about, you know, the treasure in the field story. there's a person walking through a field and they trip over something and they look down and they dig around and it's a treasure chest. It's full of money. Well, apparently that wasn't unusual in Jesus' day, because poorer people who had a bit of money they wanted to sort of hide away, they couldn't afford to hire a bodyguard and a safe, which is what the rich people did. So they went into a field and they buried money in a field. That's what people did. So Jesus went, I'm going to say that that's what the kingdom is like. It's like treasure you discover in a field, and it's worth everything, everything to you. So Jesus took all these stories, all his life, and he lived the kingdom of God, how he was with other people. You know, this whole thing, isn't it? The worst thing people can do is think that Jesus is about religion, because he's not. He's about life. It's about the best and fullest kind of life that we can imagine, really. And he went to lots of parties, so he enjoyed life a lot. Now, later on in the Bible, after the Gospels, there's this little verse called in a book called Hebrews, and it says this, and this to me, I love this verse. So the writer is writing to a group of people for whom the image of Jesus as a high priest is powerful. So that's why they say the high priest here, but they mean Jesus, okay? So this high priest of ours, he understands and can sympathize with our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same temptations that we do, and he didn't sin. But he knows what it is to face those temptations. So if you're tempted to be greedy, if you're tempted about sex, if you're tempted about fashion, if you're tempted about being lazy, tempted about all these ordinary things that every human being is tempted by, so was Jesus tempted by those things. Because he was a fully alive human being. And yet he offered us help and a way forward with all those temptations because he could understand what it's like. He gave us a whole new way forward when he lived his life, when he died on the cross, when he rose again, and then when he sent his Holy Spirit, which is his Spirit living and working in us. I want to give you an example. I just discovered this story, but I think this is an amazing story from the Second World War. This young lady, Sophie Shaw, I think she was about 20. She was studying at Munich University. And I saw this on a program as a series of documentaries called The Rise of the Nazis. And it tells the story of how that all happened in Germany. And but in every episode, they tell a story of someone who tried to fight the Nazis and tried to change the system for good. And Sophie Scholl was one of those people. So while she was at Munich University, her brother was fighting the Russians on what we call the Russian Front. And it was a terrible part of the war. And the killing and the fighting was horrible. And he wrote letters to her and told her all about how bad it was. And she thought, this cannot be right. This war can't be right with what is happening. So she decided to speak out against the war. And as I say, she lived in Munich in Germany. So she went to Munich University with a friend. They took loads of leaflets against the war that they'd written. And they left them all around the corridors while all the students were listening to a big lecture by a big Nazi called Joseph Goebbels. And they secretly went round. They put them everywhere. And then she had one little pile left. So she went to the top of a staircase and she just threw them. So that like leaves, they all came fluttering down into the hallway, everywhere. And that was the moment when she was spotted by somebody who reported her to the police. And she was arrested and ultimately she was executed for what she'd done. And she was only, as I say, about 20. And the person telling the story in the documentary said that when she was executed, the amazing thing was she was very calm. Although she was frightened, obviously, she had a sense of calm about her. And this person said, perhaps it was because she believed her words would live on. And I thought, yeah, maybe there was something else going on that they don't realize telling this story. So I looked her up on the internet and I found these quotes. I will cling to the rope God has thrown me in Jesus Christ, even when my numb hands can no longer feel it. I find that so moving. She gave her life to speak out against evil in the world because she loved Jesus. They're not going to tell you that on TV, really, because they don't know how to speak that language most of the time. But that was one of the things that drove her. And look at that other quote. She's talking about this whole of life is a doorway to eternity. And yet she says, I often get lost in all these petty troubles and anxieties. I forget the great way home to God that lies before me. That's what she said. You know, she was only 20. And she did that amazing thing. And there is a PS to this story, which is also, I think God was in this. They smuggled out of Germany one of these leaflets that she'd written, and it came back to England. And so what they did was they made loads of copies and they dropped them all over Germany. And this was after she died. And I think, you know, that's a great example that we never know how God can take something we do and make it bigger. Because they were able to drop all these leaflets, not just over Munich, but over Germany, as a chance to call people towards peace. You know, and I think that was God taking this young woman's writing and spreading it far and wide, you know. So we offer who we are and what we can do because of what Jesus has done for us. In fact, I'll just say a prayer about that now. Lord, you know each one of us. You understand us and you understand life. And Lord, we offer ourselves to you again. You know the little things that we can do, that you can take and magnify them so that they bless the wider world. And we offer ourselves to you again with that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So I just want to close with another little clip. This is a great example of Jesus stepping into people's lives. And I put it with that quote. You see, this was a radical quote. Because gods didn't become friends to you. Not in the Roman Empire. You know, they had the god of war and the god of thunder and the god of this and the god of that. Jesus says, I'm a different kind of God. I'm a God who's going to make you my friends. I will be friends with you. And that's what he did. And this is a great moment when this man who hasn't been able to walk, it's a famous story, you know, they open a hole in the roof, they lower him down. And Jesus does two amazing things. He heals the man because he can't walk. But the more radical thing is he forgives him. Now that was shocking. Because you had to go to the temple and pay money to get forgiven. And Jesus said, no you don't. You just have to talk to me and I will bring forgiveness into your life. That was radical. Anyway, this is the moment when he gets healed. And I just love, you just see his response and the response of all the people around. This is a brilliant moment of good news for them. Interesting reactions there. That's Matthew looking a bit shocked there. But I love the children. The children don't hold back, do they? You know, that's what it really meant for God to become a human being. Lives were changed. People found hope. People found a new way forward that was different. And that's what it means for us, isn't it? That God became human. So I'm going to say a little prayer and then we will we'll sing our final song. But I'll just pray. Lord, thank you again. We've thanked you already this morning and we've sung about what it means for Jesus to come into this world and into our lives. And we thank you again so much for what you have done. And Lord, for those of us here who need you to do something specific this week with us and through us and for us, Lord, we ask for your help again because of all you are and all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to skip that slide and go to this one. There, we're going to have another song about Jesus, lovely song. There is a Redeemer. You know, there is someone who can help us and save us and change us. Jesus, God's own Son. So we'll sing this. I thought just as a kind of blessing today, if you'd like to, I'm just going to read this final sort of kind of blessing kind of thing. And if you'd like to join in, do, or just stand and receive it. But it's all about Jesus, really. So here we go. We believe in light, and Jesus is his name. We believe in peace, and Jesus is his name. We believe in meaning, and Jesus is his name. We believe in kindness and understanding. We believe in forgiveness, and Jesus is his name. We believe in justice. We believe in hope and freedom. We believe in resurrection, and Jesus is his name.